In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. It's good to see you. Welcome to all of our visitors who are here as well, and those who are listening to us through the radio as well. One announcement, and it's the only thing that we have to share for you by way of real announcement, is that the Rosetta tickets are out, and if you yourself have not yet got your Rosetta tickets in, you can bring them back. That's not a crime in any way, to be able to bring them back before the last weekend. You don't have to be just like I am when I bring mine in. Bring them back in early. The ladies are out there going and canvassing and making sure that we have a successful Rosetta at this time, giving away more in funds than we have before in years past. If you'd like to know more about it or be involved in any way, we have lots of new things that we're trying out. You can talk to Miss Juanita Ortega, who is going to what do we call that thing? Is it co-lead, co-sponsor, you're in charge of most everything that it gets done. You can talk to her as her boys are here serving us in the sacred mysteries here at Mass. I think that's all that we mentioned at the previous Mass, correct? I think so. Listen to the words of the Gospel. Our Lord says, which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? Go and do likewise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Just show up. That's it. Just show up. That's the one thing that distinguished this man, the Samaritan, from all the others that day, is that he just showed up. Who were the other ones who were involved in the Mass? Who were the other ones involved in that reading? They were religious, weren't they? It was a priest and a Levite. A Levite is another priest. They're both priests. And so here in this way, our Lord shows you what's going on here. They did what? They passed by. But what did the Samaritan do that was different? He just showed up. That was it. So the first two men, the Levite and the priest, they saw the injured man, they saw him on the roadside, but seeing him, they hurried along and passed on the other side. You can see it in the Spanish, it's a little bit more clear, that they basically tiptoed on the edge of the road to not come near him. The priest and the Levite, they saw this man as an inconvenience, as an interruption to their schedule. They saw this man who was wounded and dying there by the side of the road as a hindrance, as an obstacle to the plans that they had already set out for that day. They were traveling to a place and couldn't be delayed. We don't know exactly what was going on in their hearts or in their minds. We don't know what was going on in this way. Well, maybe they were suspicious of the man. Maybe they were fearful of this strange occurrence and what it could be for them. Maybe they would end up just like he was. Maybe they asked themselves, what's going to happen to me if I stop and help? What will happen to me if I be kind to this man? What will other people think if they see me going close to them? Even if I touch him, will anybody else see? And what will that cause in my life? To ask the question, well, could this be a trap? Maybe it's a scam in some way. So what do? They didn't stop. They went on with their lives, maybe making the sign of the cross, saying a little prayer for him in their hearts and say, God, you help him because I'm not going to do anything for him today. The Samaritan. The Samaritan man, what did he do that day? Put it simply, he just showed up. That's all it was. He just showed up. He didn't ask, what's going to happen to me if I stop? Will I be taken advantage of? Will I be attacked in some way? Instead, the Samaritan asked a different question. And that's the question that I put to you today. He said, the Samaritan asked, what will happen to this man if I don't stop? What will become of this man if I don't help, show him mercy? That's the key question for us to ask. What will happen to him if I don't act in this way? To be a good neighbor, and that's what this is all about, what our Lord is calling to really love God with everything and our neighbor as ourselves, what we have to do is to rise above that first question, which is the natural question, saying, what will happen to me? And to stop to really ponder that second question within our hearts, what's going to happen to him if I don't? Our Lord Jesus, as Catholics, has set us free. Our Lord God came to do that. That's what the whole mystery of the cross was, to set you and I free from that first question thinking, to move against that common human self-centeredness. All of us are, not just our little ones, who sometimes, it's kind of like they can be a terrorist, right? Because they're just making demands, 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 and forcing us to do their will. We love them, though. There's a difference there. All of us have that inborn self-centeredness, to see things from our own perspective and only to look at it from there, to put our needs ahead of anybody else's needs. But the Catholic has been set free by the blood of Christ's cross, which we're meditating on this month of the precious blood, free to look at the man who's there before us, to see him on the side of the road, to go beyond just gazing at him with our eyes, but to really see into him and to see he's no different than I am. Maybe weaker, maybe more taken advantage of today. He's the same as me. Because of that, he's just like me. And that means that I'm the one who needs to do it. The Samaritan traveler, he stopped on his journey so that he could really see and look into that person. The other ones just looked at him from afar. But he stopped to see him. It was that thing, that readiness to stop, that disposition to interrupt his plan, that willingness to approach the man along the roadside who was wounded. And that's the thing that made all the difference. Because he just showed up. He just showed up. The Samaritan traveler merely allowed God to direct his eyes, to move his feet, really, to get them to stop moving. And then he let God take control of his heart for a moment. And then to move his mind in a way to see, what is it that I can do? And he let God help him put the needs of others ahead of his own needs, and that drove him to action. He said he had compassion upon him, meaning to share within the suffering of another person. I shared it with you years ago, but I have a message that goes off on my phone every day at noon. It goes off every day annoyingly. It bugs me every day, and it says this. It says, do you see what it is that I am seeing as I see it? Or are you just going through the motions? Signed, Jesus Christ, your most intimate friend. Every day I get asked that question, have I been seeing things the way that God sees them? Or am I just going through the motions? Do you see how practical it is that that Good Samaritan is today? He's very practical. He doesn't just feel sorry for the man in his heart, maybe put a hashtag in there and say that he's with somebody else. What he does is he shows up. The Samaritan showed up that day with gentle care for this man who was totally ignored by everybody. He showed up and tenderly poured his own wine and his own oil over the wounds that were there. He took his own bandages and wrapped them around that man who was there wounded. He showed up with the strength that God had given him and used it to lift the man and place him on his own animal, to take him to the safety of an inn. He showed up that day with a heart of generosity, giving up 2 silver, precious, important, valuable coins that were there, handing them over to the innkeeper without looking at it more. And he said, take care of him. Take care of this man. And if you spend more in taking care of him, I trust you, whatever it is, I'll repay it on my way back. Spare no expense. Do you see how practical he was in meeting the exact needs of this man who was there, who he didn't know, who probably hated him because he was a foreigner? He really saw that man, looked into him, and met his present needs. There's a little girl in this community. I want to name her, but I don't want to put anybody to shame. So I won't name her. She's 8 years old. She lives here, not far from the church, by the way. An 8-year-old girl saw me walking around as I always do, barefoot. And because of that, even though she's not herself one who's Catholic, she came up to me when her father was speaking to me. And she said, Father, how can I help the poor? She asked that question, 8 years old. That's your age. At 8 years old, she said, how can I help the poor? There's a poor guy over there. And my mom said, I can't give him any money. I wanted to go over to the concession stand and buy him a hot dog and a pickle, because he looks hungry. But she said, I couldn't do it. What can I do to help the poor? Not just the poor in general. She wanted to help that man who was there. And I explained to her all sorts of things and showed her what she could do. I can't make her parents look bad right there. I tell her things that she could actually do, that even if her parents weren't going to help her out, that she could do to meet his needs. Do we ask questions like that too? What we allow God to move within our hearts, what we allow to move our hearts to compassion, to really feel the woundedness of another person, that reveals whether or not we love our neighbor. Say that again. What we allow to move our hearts to compassion, that reveals whether or not we really, actually, and practically love our neighbor. It reveals who and what matters most to us in our lives. It's a practical thing. Tell me where you spend your time. Give me your timesheet. Show me that credit card statement that comes out to you, that bank statement, where you spend your money. Above all, let me see what you allow to interrupt you in the midst of your business, what you allow to sort of throw you off your plans, and I'll be able to show you who you love and what you love, what you value in this life. Tell me what and whom you ignore in your daily life, that you pass by, what you refuse to stop for, and that inaction that you fail to take in these times will reveal to me what's really not important to you. The needs that you omit to stop to meet, to look at, to show, to line up, that what it does is it shows me where you've marked the line in the sand saying, my love will go to that point, but it's not going to go beyond there. You see, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it uses this very same image of the Good Samaritan and puts in a place that maybe you and I don't think about often. It uses this to talk about one of the great sacraments of the Church, my favorite sacrament, by the way, to talk about the sacrament of confession. It uses it that way to show what happens to you and me in confession. It says this. It says, quote, when the priest celebrates the sacrament of penance, he's fulfilling the ministry of the Good Samaritan, who binds up wounds that they may be healed. The priest, then, is a sign and an instrument of God's merciful love that comes down to meet the sinner in the midst of their wounds. end quotation, from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So think about this for a moment. When you examine your conscience, when you're preparing yourself to make a good confession, you've got to go to confession. If you don't go to confession, you can't receive God's grace at the altar in communion. To make a good confession, do you ask the question, and I often ask this question, how am I using my freedom? The freedom that God has given me, what am I doing with it? Am I free to rise above my own needs, my own selfishness? Am I allowing myself to really see, to look into the needs of another person, of others, the wounded ones? Am I free to see, to really see the person who is there wounded? Am I free to feel compassion for my neighbor, particularly my neighbor who happens to live in the same household as me? Do I meet their needs? How do I use my freedom? You see, our Lord Jesus, what he does is he frees Catholics to really be able to love. And what does it mean to love? It means to will, to desire the good for another person. Not just the good where we allow ourselves to abuse and to be abused by others because it brings about some pleasure, but to really love the ultimate good of another person. Am I willing to reach out and act upon that same love, not just keeping it somewhere hidden within my heart? He frees us to go beyond that. The freedom that this is calling us to really love isn't something that comes natural. It's not. Naturally, we're selfish. I mentioned it before. All of our little babies, much as we love them, they're real terrorists. They make demands, and they don't give up till we meet them. We're born that way, but are we continuing to live in that same way, to move out of that selfishness? Jesus frees you and me to invite him to really be active within our hearts. He frees us by letting us share in the mystery of the cross, which means suffering, letting go of our needs, so the needs of others can be met. And he purifies our hearts so that we can see God present in every single person, to see things from his perspective. Do you see what it is that God sees as he sees it? The one as he sees him there in suffering, are we just going through the motions as Catholics? The question that was asked of our Lord today, because he wanted to justify himself, the scholar of the law said, well, then who really is my neighbor? How does our Lord respond? Did you catch it? It's the whole of the parable, by the way. That's how he responds. But what is he in essence driving at? Who is my neighbor? It's basically this. My neighbor, your neighbor, is the one who needs mercy. That's it. My neighbor, your neighbor, is the one right in front of us who needs help. See, the fathers of the church, when they looked at this parable, the Good Samaritan, they saw it as an image of what our Lord Jesus Christ is. Just like the Good Samaritan, Jesus made himself a neighbor to every single one of us. What did he do? Our little kids can tell you. He came down from heaven to earth. He gave up the eternity with the Father to enter into the messiness that is yours and mine. He didn't just leave another country like Samaria, which borders Israel in that way in our parable, but he entered into our wounded nature to bring us humanity. He became like us in all things, as St. Paul says, except the one thing of sin. Freely choosing to become a victim for you and me from the cross, to wipe out and destroy all of our sins. And we are united in this wondrous love every single time we come here to Mass. Pours down from the cross, his precious blood, here from this altar, dripping off to be received by you and I, if we would just open up a crack to receive it. When Jesus entered into our world, what was the condition of humanity? Was it not similar to this very same man who was by the wayside, who everybody, all the priests, passed by, didn't want to come near? After the shipwreck of original sin, which wrecked the entire universe, all of us were robbed of that original innocence, that original grace that God wanted us to live in. We were stripped of our dignity as sons and daughters of God. We were left half dead and covered with the shame of our embarrassing sins. We did it to ourselves. Helpless in that way, we were unable to continue on the road toward heaven, which God has called each of us to ultimately arrive at. And the actions of the Good Samaritan, what they symbolize for us, is everything that Jesus does for us. What does he do? First words out of my mouth. He just shows up. That's it. And showing up there, he stops, so that he can come close enough to really see where you and I are. He always comes to you and me in our messiness. He's not afraid of it. He knows how to destroy that messiness and put it right. He's tender to stay with us until we finally get it. He always comes over to that. He's moved with compassion. He shares in our suffering, even though we're victims of our own sins because we did it to ourselves. He pours his own oil and wine of his divine mercy down upon us to bring a healing to our wounds. He bandages up all of our hardships and our difficulty, the things that are broken, with his love and truth, so that it can grow right again. He lifts us up by means of the sacraments, using his strength to pour it out into us in his grace. He washes our sins away in the grace of baptism, and more than that, he makes us part of his family, adopts us to say, now I'm with you forever. I'm never going to go back on this promise. He strengthens our soul through the grace of confirmation, which you gauges are getting ready to receive here just soon. Strengthen you in this way. And he reminds us at every holy sacrifice of the Mass, when our bodies begin to decay and fall apart, he anoints us with the oil of the sacrament so that we can not only be healed, if it's God's will, but that our souls may be strengthened to make that final journey to God. Every time we come to Mass, when we have time here at the Eucharist, What our Lord does for us, He provides us the food that we need to make it through each and every day, fulfilling the prayer which we pray so often upon our lips, the Our Father, give us today our daily bread. It's here in the Mass. If we make ourselves worthy to receive it, we taste it and are strengthened by it. Through the sacrament of confession, He reminds you and me that all our faults, no matter how grave they are, your eyes or mine's or everybody else's perspective, once they are absolved, never again can they be held against us. Never again can they wreak havoc and destroy us. For the Scriptures say, by His stripes, by His wounds, each of us receive healing if we just accept it and confess it. You see, St. Francis de Sales, he was one of the great doctors of the Church, and even though he did so many amazing things, he realized that he didn't measure up to God's gift of compassion. He wanted to, but he saw he fell short of perfection. And so he cried out to God, recognizing, God, I just need to be united to You, and then I'll finally be able to make it. Here's a prayer that he prayed. Maybe it's a prayer that you and I can pray when we see that we don't measure up to God's gift of compassion. Here's his prayer. He says, good Jesus, if I only possessed the grace to be utterly at one with You, amidst all the variety of worldly things that are around me, Lord, the only thing that I crave is unity with You. You're all my soul needs. Unite, dear friend of my heart, this unique little soul of mine to Your perfect goodness. Lord, You are all mine. But when shall I be Yours? What's the answer to that question, to that prayer? That a saint says, when will I really be totally Yours? The answer is this. In the example of Christ, Jesus never asked, what will happen to me if I show compassion to these ones? Instead, He continually asked, what will happen to them if I don't do it? Every time we're in need, every time we're wounded, every time we're hurt, every time we're beaten up, what does He do? He just shows up. He stops. He really looks into us, really sees us as we are, and then He acts immediately upon that compassion every time we open ourselves to receive it. So when will you and I come to have the compassion of Christ? When will we be united to Him? So when we do that, our Lord said it in the Gospel, His last words. He said, you see what I do? Now go and do likewise. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.